Hey, you, I need your help. Before you listen to this Android Central podcast, and trust me, it's a good one, it's our Google I.O. special edition, I need 5 quick minutes of your time for a short anonymous survey. Your answers will help match our podcast with advertisers that best fit the sensibilities of our podcast, and it's listeners like you. On the other hand, we might find out some things we don't want to know about you, but here's the deal. All you have to do is complete the survey, and you will be entered in an ongoing monthly raffle to win a $100 Amazon gift card. We promise not to share or sell your email address, and we won't send you an email unless you win. So go to www.podsurvey.com/android. That's podsurvey.com/android to take our survey and get a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Thanks! Everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Android Central podcast. I believe, Jerry, that we are up to number 190 or 191.
I think it's 191.
I think it's 191, so we'll call this 191, and if it's not, well, just subtract one. We are here at Google I.O. in San Francisco. It is Wednesday, early Wednesday evening here in SF. What time is it? It's about 5:30.
Something like that.
It's really foggy outside. So, I don't know, it's a weird time of day, and I'm 2 hours off, you're 3 hours off. So, and we have had a very long day,
Longest keynote ever.
Jerry left the hotel before I did this morning. Was today's keynote longer than last year's?
I had that discussion with a couple developers. I don't think this was longer.
It was weirder.
It was, yeah.
For a couple reasons, we'll get to those in a minute.
It felt longer.
So, if it's your first time joining us for this podcast, it's a little different. We are doing this live at an event, which is always fun, but I'm doing it in the same room with Jerry, which we do once a year, and once a year only.
Yep.
He can't stand me for much longer than that.
Well, I'm not allowed off my electronic ankle bracelet.
That's true, too.
Only once a year.
So, we got some interesting stuff today. We got so much stuff. I have no idea how long this podcast is going to run.
It's like the Google I.O. was all Android this year.
Pretty much. And that was the odd thing.
I'm not complaining.
No, neither am I. But I do like to see, you know, Chrome continue and develop. But that's not to say Google couldn't do an event for other stuff later this year, right? So let's just kind of go through it. In no apparent order, let's just start with the Android L developer preview. Yes, we have a new version of Android, sort of. We don't have a name for it. We don't have a number for it. Frankly, those aren't even the important parts.
L is a number.
Yes, sort of.
It's Android 5.0.
Oh, stop it.
L is 50, right? Isn't L 50?
I don't know.
Come on, you have to support my conspiracy.
Okay, I will go with that.
Okay.
So, yes, we have L, and nobody's saying what it means. And there's a good chance they don't even know yet, that they haven't decided. Key lime pie, they went back and forth, you know, became Kit Kat. So, who knows? We'll see. That's not what's important today.
I like Dan Sandler's answer. L if I know.
Yeah.
That's what it stands for.
Or was that Chet Haas's? I forget which.
One of the two.
They're interchangeable, right?
Well,
not quite, but.
They were both wonderful and funny.
So, we have L. We don't know what it is. We know what's in it. And there's a whole bunch of stuff. Actually, I mean, first off, go read everything we've written, because that's the most important thing, right?
Right.
I have to say that, because I'm required by law. But you should also just go to googledevelopers.blogspot.com. Just search for Google Developer Blog. That's Google's official blog. They did an excellent job breaking all this down, and it's a lot of stuff going on. So, I'm kind of using that, Jerry, as our cheat sheet.
Good.
They did all the work for us.
After today, we need one.
Yeah. The guys back home did a yeoman's job, you know, keeping up with all this while we were here playing. But, wow, there's a lot of stuff. So we have this L developer preview. And let's talk about that for a second. First time Google is releasing a developer preview. We're getting factory images for the Nexus 5 and the Nexus 7. In fact, over the week, how brilliant are we, Jerry? We just revamped it was something I started writing a long time ago, and you finished it off. Like, the basic ways of updating a Nexus device.
Yep.
Including factory images, because I'm not I'm not that big a hacker. I'm not that big a coder. But Nexus devices make this stuff easy, I think. So we kind of wrote your instructions on how to do it. I think we ran it like Sunday or Monday.
Anyway, it's not buried too deep, easy to reference.
Yeah, so we're going to get these factory images for the Nexus 5 and the Nexus 7. No Nexus 10. Interesting. That will be whatever this L release is. And I'm sure when you go to the About section, it's going to say, like, L developer preview or something. It's not going to give you a number. Yeah. So we're going to get that to play with on Thursday morning at some point. And I have a feeling it'll probably be sooner rather than later in the day because of some watch stuff that's going to be included in there. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, Jerry did bring up an interesting point to satisfy the open source neckbeard in him. We have a developer preview of a new version of Android without without code being dropped.
Right. And I will be right up front. Google does not have to ever give us most of the code. That's right. They don't.
But
isn't the whole idea of an open source project to allow other very intelligent people to say, hey, you could do this with your code and make things better? And a developer preview is the perfect time for that, at least in my way of thinking.
But at the same time, it's not like they're not going to release it. I don't think this is going to become another honeycomb where it's bad.
I hope not.
Yeah. I don't get that feeling at all. I'm kind of getting the feeling that, hey, we want to do things a little differently this time. And they said in the fireside chat, we can't promise anything. This is not news. But we would very much like this to be the way it works from now on. So I have less, and I get where you're coming from, I have less of a problem with that as long as they're being transparent about it. And they're saying, look, you know, we're going to put this out there. You're going to get the code later this year. So be it. And that's not to say that, you know, there's not going to be all sorts of trouble you can get into with these factory images, because that's what we've done in the past.
Right.
So I get your point. I'm less concerned about that. On principle, I get it. From a practical standpoint.
That's fair enough. Only certain people need to even care about that sort of thing. I care, so nobody else has to.
That's true, too. So we've got that. Now, probably the biggest change that we've seen so far in this L preview, as they showed it off in the keynote today, is in the design.
Yes.
And it kind of takes what it started with, specifically the Google Plus app, a month or so ago, and just runs that all over the place. Now, the way Matias Duarte talked about it was like, take your pixels, and these are no longer flat pixels. You can have a flat UI, but even that's not it. These things have elevations to them and depth.
And watch the keynote replay so you can see the animation that he's playing while he talks, and you'll get it.
And it makes sense.
Right.
And what you need things to pull all that together, because otherwise you just end up with this flat UI. So it's all about animations. It's all about the shadowing and the shading and bringing all that together. So the buttons almost kind of come to life, right?
Right. And things do come to life as you work around the page. When you do something, when you move something with your finger, elements come to life and do certain things. And now, sure, they showed us a couple examples, and I'm sure not even all of Google's apps are going to be that nice. But
they made a point in the fireside chat of, and I forget what the question was, but they made a point of saying, we have to follow our own design guidelines with our own apps, or this will not work.
Great.
They absolutely said.
Because that's what we were discussing earlier, right after they said it. I'm like, yeah, this is great, but you've got some developers who are just never going to follow these guidelines for one reason or another.
Like, why the hell would a developer listen if... And not just a developer, but the OEMs as well. Samsung, HTC,
right.
LG.
Well, you know.
Probably less, you know. We'll get to that in a second, because I think we're going to see some interesting stuff there, too. So it's really going to bring this, not three-dimensional, but it's going to give life to what would otherwise be a flat and bland UI. And maybe give life a little bit of life to you know, some of the early complaints about iOS 6. Was that it was just like, and some of that was just because it's so different. But what if it had sort of this shine to it?
Well, you know, everybody, they think of Windows Phone. Windows Phone does flat.
Right.
But they do it well.
They do it. In fact, I was thinking about Microsoft a lot during all this. Yes. Because, especially as they start tying it all together with Chrome and tablets.
If you are going to go flat without... Matias said, bring things to life. If you don't want to bring things to life and use animations and very big, graceful transitions, you're going to have to copy Microsoft pixel for pixel. And you know, Matias doesn't want to do that.
No.
So they have hit the basic idea. And did Microsoft come up with it first? I have no idea. Whoever did, good job.
I've said from day one, I loved what Microsoft did with Metro. So if somebody wants to borrow that, absolutely.
Yep. everybody needs to borrow from everybody else until all of them are so damn good we can't argue which one is better anymore.
New, you know, home and back buttons and all that stuff. I mean, they still very much look like home and back buttons, but just different.
Well, now they look like PlayStation controllers.
Yeah, actually buttons. They do. You know, what's not there is a Google button. Remember when people thought that was going to happen?
Yikes. Well, you never know. Google may have had that idea.
I doubt it.
I hope not.
You know, maybe for 5 minutes.
That guy no longer works at Google.
You know, blogs for Android Central. So, yeah, and they call this whole design language material. Material design, which is a very designy word.
Yep.
I don't know. Fits what it in. Means. It means whatever you think it means. Now, there's another aspect to this, and it's polymer. And that is, we'll call it a desktop aspect. It's a Chrome OS design aspect, right?
It's for, it's like a toolkit set of UI functions. And, I mean,
it's going to let you turn your web pages into the same sort
the
of design
the same
language.
Look and feel. And when the web finally moves to touch, Google wants the web to move to touch. Microsoft now wants the web to move to touch. When those two giants get together, it's going to happen.
It's not, and Google's obviously doing it differently, but I'm sending this to David. We had him on the podcast a couple episodes ago. I'm sending this to David right now. You know, this is very much kind of what his intents have been with our, you know, slight redesign so far of quit thinking of Android Central on your phone as a web page. Think of it as something a little different.
Yep.
And that's why we have this big feature, you know, here are the important stories right in front of you. Same sort of kind of idea with this. These are no longer just web pages in Chrome OS. It is this polymer experience. Yep.
And that Chrome as a standalone entity is no longer, well, there's Chrome for your laptop, there's Chrome for a Chromebook, there's Chrome for your Android. No, now it's all just Chrome, and that even goes into the new multitasking and task switching.
Yep.
It's all just, it's an app.
Well, let's talk about that. Apps can now write into Chrome. Think about like apps being able to write into Chrome tabs.
Yep.
I'm having a hard time coming up with a reason to do it, but I mean, I'm
Uber.
Sure.
I was sitting here trying to catch a cab. Yes. Uber would be a great way to do that.
So your app can say, "Hey, open this up as a tab within Chrome and show this."
Yep.
What else? Yeah, so that's Polymer. Really cool stuff. I can't wait to see how this works.
Well, and this is everybody always said one day Chrome and Android are going to get together, and the people at Google say no, that's never going to happen. Well, now it kind of did.
But just not in a code sense.
Right.
Now it's in
It's this same design language is going to carry on to everything Google. And I've got no complaints about that. This disjointed mess we've had for years, it's time for it to go away.
I did an interview with the BBC this morning, and that was one of their questions. How important is it that they are bringing design under one roof, basically? And, you know, you talk about fragmentation. There's your fragmentation, right?
Yep.
When you've got phones that look like one thing, tablets that sort of look like the same thing, Chrome, which is totally different, Chrome OS, which looks like Chrome OS. Now we have watches. Now we have Android Auto. We'll talk to that in a second. You know, just all the Android TV, all this stuff that finally feels like it's a family.
Android's taking over everything.
Yeah. What else in the L developer preview? Art?
Yes, art has been revamped. That was pretty cool.
It's not like, I mean, before, as we've used art for the past, what?
6 months.
8 months?
So, yeah, something like that.
You know, we've thought of it, there's the art runtime, then there's the Dalvik runtime. Art, as we're going to get it in this L developer preview and in the full release later this year, it's actually something a little different.
Right. It's a new art. The new art that's like, both and more and less and better and everything. It compiles ahead of time, just like art does, but it can also compile just in time. It can compile at runtime. They've done everything they can to make it as compatible with as many apps out there as possible. Right now, if you use art on your phone, a lot of your apps don't work. That number gets smaller and smaller as time goes by, but there's still some. And you know, that app you downloaded in 2009, that first app you ever paid for that looks like garbage.
And hasn't been updated
yet. Yeah, it's never getting updated. So Google's going to do what they can do to try to make it work.
And look, we've seen recent apps have this problem. Monument Valley, when it came out.
Yep.
Because it's using the Unity engine, and it just does not work on art. That shouldn't be a problem here.
Should not be a... Probably, I'm sure that the Unity engine was a specific target.
Right.
Let's make art work well with things like the Unity engine.
Which is why you have engines.
Right. And that's, you know, I'm not even going to comment on, was it a placebo before? Did it get better? How much better did it get since it first came out? But now you should see a marked performance increase.
Better battery life, they're talking. From an end-user perspective, yes, it should, you know, look and feel a little bit faster. Maybe you'll notice, maybe you won't. Just kind of depends. Better garbage collection, better memory allocation, all important stuff, but, you know, things I don't see when I'm using something.
But you hit on the big ones, the battery life, the garbage collection especially. You know, you heard the developers cheer because that's kind of rough what we have now. Make some apps slow and... Slow apps make developers look bad. Now they got better garbage collection. And what that means is when your program was doing something and it's no longer doing it and there's stuff in memory that's not being used, let's clean that mess up.
Right.
That's garbage collection. Good word for it.
What else? Better notifications? And notifications in the lock screen kind of become one.
Yes, better is subjective there, Phil.
Well, sorry, I said better. They call them enhanced.
Okay, I said better because
that's what people want to hear.
Well, and for most people, they're probably going to be better.
I withhold judgment until we actually use it.
Right. I don't like stuff in my lock screen, and to me, notifications are something that need to be touched with very...
And look, we'll have to see how that works. I mean, right. go back a year and a half ago when, was it Ice Cream Sandwich? Yeah, I forget which one first came out with the lock screens. Yeah,
we hated them.
Well, I mean, they were done poorly, but they were also a security thing.
Yep.
You know, I don't want my inbox sitting on my lock screen for anyone to see. That's just bad. And in fact, I have the same issue with watches. You know, I buy my wife nice things sometimes. Next thing I know, I have Victoria's Secret emails coming into my Pebble, like, just sitting there for anyone to see. And I don't particularly care, but... I get it.
All this wearable stuff, we brought our Google Glass, you know, just in case you don't know what's going to happen. I forgot and left my Google Glass on the nightstand here at the hotel. And at about lunchtime, I thought, man, wouldn't it suck if somebody picked up that Google Glass and walked off with it, not just to replace the money, but because if you turn it on and it connects to Wi-Fi, there's all Jerry's life with no password.
Can you control it like you can control other devices with Android Device Manager?
I don't know.
I haven't tried that.
I haven't either, but you can bet that I'm going to look into it because the watches are going to be the same way. These are things we're going to have to discover.
I bet you can. I just don't know yet. What else is I'm looking through this? Project Volta. So they were joking around. They're like, look, every year we have to have a project. It's Project Svelte or Project, what was the last one?
Butter.
Butter was the one before that. This year it's Project Volta, which they say are new tools and APIs to help your app run efficiently and conserve power.
And they did not have a big Japanese robot come on the stage.
Oh, that's Voltron.
But it's close enough.
The cool thing they did show us during the keynote is Battery Historian.
Yep.
So you can actually see how things are using energy on your phone, how they're sapping
back. Right, and this kind of data was always available. And you get the super geeky guys can write apps that the rest of us can use. They can read all these stats that the battery's keeping and stuff. Now Android's just thrown it in there. I mean, that's good. And I hope that the people that wrote all these battery stat apps are flattered.
There's this cool Bluetooth low energy peripheral mode that's in there now, and it lets devices talk to each other without actually having a connection. That's kind of cool. They call it broadcasting their presence.
That's...
What?
That's going to be hardware dependent?
Yes.
And that's something that I need to really think about before I say if it's a good or a bad thing, in my opinion. It's like iBeacons. There's some things there that is... The privacy side of me does not like any type of communication that's not under my control. Now, I'll have to see how the settings are. This may be just fine. But until then, until tomorrow.
Some new camera stuff, which is important if you know, this is the camera you use, and I assume we'll see some of that rolled into Google's camera app somehow at some point.
I would think.
You know, we'll see what happens with OEM devices, you know, because everybody has so much custom camera stuff anyway. New stuff for games. A bunch of graphic stuff, which is important, but kind of over my head.
That saved games thing.
Yes.
I'm a big game player.
Yes.
And I also, because of my job, have to wipe and flash and move devices around. And man, Knights of Pen and Paper plus one, I always lose my game save.
I play one game that properly, the only game I've ever played that properly syncs your data across devices is Monument Valley. It's the only one.
Well, then they need more love. Because that's a pain. And hopefully, this makes it easy enough that everybody can just say, okay, hey, we're going to offer this.
What was the... I'm looking in my email right now. Zombie Gunship, which is another one I've been playing a lot lately. That's what it is. They're doing some sort of, like, alternate reality thing with the Project Tango tablet.
Which...
That's kind of weird.
Project Tango! I thought we'd see something...
That goes into the... I've saved that for last. Let's get to that in a little bit. What else are we forgetting on...
Probably lots.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff. Google Play Services update, they're up to 5.0. Yep. By the way, they did say, you know, out loud that, hey, we update Google Play Services every 6 weeks. 93% of all active Android devices, as in used in the last 30 days, are on this same version of Google Play Services.
I like what they did there, too. Now, why did it take so long to cross the billion device mark when we were so close to a billion last year? Now they only count devices that have been used in the last 6 weeks.
Which makes sense.
Right.
I have no problem with that.
They no longer count my HTC Hero that's dead in a drawer somewhere. It doesn't count towards that billion device. So that makes that number even more significant.
Yeah. These are, you know, a billion devices people are using. I need to go back and look through our live blogs. They, you know, spit out a bunch of numbers about that stuff to us. And I just don't remember them offhand.
Android's popular. Everybody's... on the money side is making money. Everybody's happy. That's, you know, my takeaway. When I see those kind of numbers go out, I'm like, yeah, you had to have a cheap shot at the other guy because he had a cheap shot at you. But in the end, everybody's doing good, and that's what counts.
What else? I'm getting yelled at for going on podcasts, by the way.
Oh, I would never yell at you.
You know what I have to say about that?
What?
Do your own podcast. This ain't easy. The Google Cast stuff was really interesting. So a lot of cool Chromecast. You will be able to hook into somebody's Chromecast even if you're not on their Wi-Fi network. It'll use the cellular connection to initiate it.
And keep going, because you know what the kids have been wanting Chromecast to do now?
I don't remember.
Device mirroring.
Oh, device mirroring, yes. Which hopefully will stick the knife in Miracast from now on. Because Miracast was like the only other thing that did it.
Did it ever really do it?
No.
Get it to work.
It was not good. It was not good. I'm looking through the Play Services stuff. What else? Wearables. There's stuff in there for wearables, obviously. We'll talk more about that in a second.
The next 6 months is going to be wearables, guys. Get used to it.
Yes. Sorry. That's kind of the... 64-bit support, by the way, in the L preview.
Which...
Yeah. Oh, I mean, okay.
That's something...
It's. I mean, people make such a big deal out of it.
And it's not.
It's what's next.
Right.
That's all.
The biggest part of Android is the kernel, and it's been 64-bit ready and compliant since the day Android was written. Now we're just getting some of the user space utilities ready. That doesn't mean that tomorrow... your Galaxy S5 is going to suck because it's only 32-bit.
Right.
So don't. Just don't.
You will not notice. Now, what if it was 64-bit in art?
Oh, man.
I'm
going to have to burn every phone I have now.
It's only 32-bit.
But ask your friend with an iPhone 5S. It may make a difference, but you don't see it.
Right.
But it's for the future. It has to happen.
Looking through my notes, what is next? I just totally lost my notes. There they are. So we've talked about design. We've talked about the L preview. We talked about Polymer, right? Yes.
Yes.
Android TV, the next big one. Google TV is dead. Well, I mean, Google TV has been dead for some time now, let's be honest. So now we have Android TV, which is sort of a weird cross between Chromecast and the old school Google TV, only take out all the cable crap.
And one of those non-authorized Android on a stick devices.
Right.
Mix them all together, yeah.
And with like a and depending on what you get, you know, eventually a proper Android gaming platform console thing. Not unlike like Fire TV a little bit.
Right, the one that they are touting around and they show everybody, it's the size of your wallet. It's small. It's
well, it was a little bigger than that.
Well,
it was like 4x4.
I've got a big wallet, says Batman. Okay.
No. Shut your mouth.
But,
It was like 4x4.
Yeah.
5x5.
And, it's got this, you know, high-end NVIDIA gear inside it. And if you saw in the demo when Sundar showed it, or I talked to the guys and they gave us another demo, it looks good. It looks as good as your PlayStation or your Xbox does. Will the games come? I mean, are you going to have Call of Duty on your Android? Probably not.
Can it run Crysis?
I would imagine it can run anything as well or better than an Xbox or PlayStation, the newer ones can. Can they run Crysis? That was my cop-out answer. Cause but,
I mean, what it was running was this... Was it Unreal Engine?
Yes, Unreal 4. The Unreal 4 demo that they were talking about. It was... And guys, it was spectacular.
It looked really good.
Yeah. And then, you know, grab your remote control and say, I want to see movies with Marlo Thomas. Yes, I'm old, but that's the first person I can think of. And it finds them if it recognizes your voice. It's still new. I watched enough demos this afternoon to see that it still needs a little bit of work. And that's good. I don't, you know, I want it to... misbehave consistently. That was a good way to put that, wasn't it? I want it to be wrong a lot so somebody fixes it. Not one of these things where every great once in a while it does something unexpected. But I was impressed. I was a little disappointed that it's not in Google Play for Jerry to throw money at.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted, and people can say, what about the swag? Well, they didn't give me one. I don't care if they give me one. I'm not here
for that. Yeah, I mean, we're going to buy all that stuff anyway. Right. And we had talked about that. We'd heard that it might not be ready, and it's not ready yet. And it's disappointing because it looks really good. Right. Even just the integration with Google Play Store. I mean, Google, God, it's still so awkward to say. But the voice integration, if you want to know that, you just look it up.
Yep.
And it's right there. Hey, do you want to watch this? Do you want to watch it on Netflix? Whatever. It's just right there, and it looks beautiful using the same sort of design language.
Right. I don't watch a lot of TV, but what I do watch is stuff that I would be able to find through an Android app.
Yes.
HBO Go.
Yes.
Would serve half of my needs. Netflix, most of the other half. And then if... I'm not doing anything, and I don't have Phil climbing on my back telling me to do something. Even something simple like Granny Smith, I could play it on TV with one of the kids. They're over washing their clothes or doing something. That happens when you get old. Your kids come over and use your washing machine. But they're sitting there, and you know, you're doing nothing. Even a little casual game like that on a nice big TV. I really want this, guys, and... I was a little sad that I can't throw my money at Google to get one yet. Soon.
Not soon enough. If you had to ask me at this point, Phil, should I wait for this or should I buy a Fire TV? I think it really comes down to what ecosystem are you invested in?
Yep.
That is going to be my answer. All right, we're going to get right back to Google I.O. in a minute. But first, let's talk about lynda.com. Lynda is an excellent website for learning new things. Professional videos from people who know what they're doing and what they're talking about. It'll help keep you up to date with software, pick brand new skills, explore new hobbies with easy-to-follow video tutorials. If you want to create a graceful user experience for your website, build an app for multiple platforms, record music with any number of music apps, lynda.com offers thousands of video courses in a variety of topics. More than 2,400, actually. One low monthly price of $25 gets you unlimited access to all of these, the entire library, every single video. And there are courses for all kinds of experience levels, whether you're a beginner or whether you're advanced. You can improve your skills, keep up with technology, and learn new software applications. I use it all the time when I need to learn something new in Photoshop. When I'm editing a video, I go straight to lynda.com and have somebody teach me right there on my time. I can do it from my computer, I can do it from my tablet, my phone, however I need to learn right then. And the courses are quick. If you have 15 minutes, learn in 15 minutes. If you have 15 hours, you can learn all the things. Now, here's the deal. We've worked out a deal with Lynda to provide you special offer to access the entire library free for 7 days. Here's how to do it. Go to lynda.com. Again, that's lynda.com/Android Central to start your 7-day free trial. That's lynda.com/Android Central. You'll be glad you did.
Ooh!
I forgot about a couple things. You want to go back to the developer preview
real
quick? All right, so I'm looking through. This is how awesome this job is, Jerry. So you and I are out here playing with all this stuff. Alex and Andrew have been busting their butts.
Ah!
And a couple of the other guys.
Good work, guys.
I was just reading, and I haven't even gotten to read like most of what they've written today. So I'm reading through the top 10 things you need to know about Android L, right? And where'd it go? Nope. Well, enterprise stuff. So we didn't
forgot about that. That's right.
Super important.
And Samsung got a shout out for all the contributions back they made to the code.
Yeah, with Knox. And Knox, if you don't remember, is Samsung's enterprise. I mean, you can call it security. Think of it as a secure space.
Right. It's like place a for VM, you. VMware
right.
kind of thing.
A place for you, and then a place for your company stuff. And the two can't talk to each other. And, you know, your company can't see your stuff, and your stuff can't see the company's stuff. BlackBerry does the same sort of stuff.
Right.
Super important. But yeah, they flat out said, you know, thank you to Samsung for your contributions to this. And really, that's kind of what had to happen.
Yep.
You know, Google just wasn't going to do it itself for whatever reason. And by the way, how about all the Samsung shout-outs in product placement? Like, they were showing something on a tablet, and it's not just like, here's a Nexus tablet. Not even a Nexus 10.
No, big Samsung across the top of it.
It looked like the Tab S, maybe. I assume it was.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know why it wouldn't be. So that was pretty cool. And the kill switch, we forgot to mention.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been looking forward to the kill switch. I always worry that I'll use it.
It's something you need to have. It's something you never want to have to use. So, I mean, I think people just like saying kill switch, which is why it's one of those things. But yeah, two other things we had forgotten to mention in the L section. So nice post, Alex. Good job. Don't tell him I said that. Any of you guys out there listening?
Alex, we're taking tomorrow off. Me and Phil are going to go golfing in San Francisco.
All right, so we cut back up on those. Android TV, Android Wear. Again, this has kind of been previewed for a while, and we've seen how it all works. We're starting to get our first taste of it. So you got to see, and I saw it very briefly, the Samsung Watch was announced today. The Gear Live is what it's called.
Yep.
And it's a little different than the other two that we've seen announced already. It's got, I need to find the specs real quick, but it's got a higher resolution display than LG's.
And it follows the same exact design language that Samsung has used for all their wearable devices.
Yeah, it does not feel out of place. I think it's better than the Gear 2.
I have always said that even the original Galaxy Gear that nobody seems to love, I think that thing's beautifully constructed and it's like a tank. And this is more like the Gear 2 or the Gear 2 Neo. This is not like the original Gear. There's screws on the band. You could take the band off somehow.
Well, there aren't screws like the original one. Not in that sense.
No, they're like...
It uses the same 22mm pins.
You can change the band out
if you want.
That's what I meant.
But it's got a 1.63-inch Super AMOLED display at 320x320, so it's higher resolution than LG's, which is 280x280 at 1.65 inches, and that's an IPS display.
And, you know, to me, that doesn't make any difference.
I don't think it does
either. When it's that small...
We don't know what processor is in it. They just say 1.2 gigahertz. LG does have a Snapdragon 400.
I'm almost willing to bet that Samsung has put an Exynos in their watch.
See, I'm almost willing to bet they're using Snapdragon, which is why they're not saying.
One of us is right.
Yes. Or none of us. Maybe they're running, I don't know,
something Marvell.
Yeah.
Oh.
Probably not. I tell you what's interesting is, in all the literature I've seen today, they all say OS, Android Wear. They're not giving a version.
Smart.
Yeah.
If you don't give a version, you don't hear people jumping down your throat about why isn't it on this version.
Sure.
And, come on, this is just a gateway to show notifications and actionable content on a small screen that's attached to a larger screen.
Right.
Who cares what version it is?
The big question is battery life. Now, Samsung's other watches have only lasted 2-3 days. Just kind of depends. This one has a 300 milliamp hour battery. That's 100 milliamp hours less than LG's with a higher resolution display. So we'll see.
There is no wills. It's going to last less. The LG is going to last longer. Right. I will make that prediction. But, you know, we don't know. Is 200 milliamp hours long enough to last 3 days? We don't know how Android Wear actually works on these devices yet.
Yeah. I was at an LG thing and got to play around with their watch for a little bit. And all I got to see was a demo, so I didn't, you know, it's not like I was getting real notifications. It was just flipping through samples of notifications.
That's mostly what Samsung was giving us, and at first I was like, oh man, I wanted to see it work, but then I realized it can't work yet.
Right.
The stuff isn't live, and it may start slowly going live by the time you read this, or you listen to this, but at that point, there was nothing it could do.
Right.
So they were showing us a demo that you could swipe notifications away.
There's stuff in Google Play services you need, and there is a dedicated Android Wear app, right? Just like there's a My Glass app.
I'm 99% sure that's going to be required at all times.
Yeah. Other internals, 4 gigabytes of internal memory, 512 megabytes of RAM. What's interesting is when you load an app that has an Android Wear counterpart to it, it will automatically load that to the watch.
And keep it up to date.
Smart. Very smart.
That means
Pebble's still a little awkward in the way it handles that stuff.
Right. I ask for some clarity on that. If I install, you know, Phil's app on my phone, and it has an Android Wear component, it installs the Wear component. Phil can update the Android Wear component without updating his app, and I don't have to do anything. And the next time I run the Phil app from the phone, it will auto-update on my watch. So it keeps everything current and working with how it needs to work, which is good. A lot of people don't check that kind of stuff.
I had people asking if you can put music on the watches directly, like you can the Gear 2 and the Gear Fit. And I just don't know. I haven't gotten that answer yet.
I didn't hear anybody mention that at all.
That would be cool if you could. These things are rated IP67, so you can, you know, run with them and stuff if you want without issue.
IP67 is what? 3 feet for 30 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, you know my line with that. It can stay underwater longer than you can. So, I mean, I'm not that impressed. I think I like the look of the Samsung one more. And by the way, the Samsung watch is $30 less than...
Go figure.
Than LG's, which, yeah, I don't get that, but it is. I mean, playing with the LG one, it looks and feels basic. Maybe if I get a different strap for it, but I'm lazy. Like, the last thing I want to do is deal with getting another strap for my watch.
But maybe basic is what they wanted.
I guess.
Maybe if the everything is basic, the content will shine.
Well, I don't want the content to shine. Now, I thought Russell Holley wrote a really good thing for us last week on Android Wear, just being kind of the scaled back thing for notification. Like, that's, to me, that's what I like about the Pebble. It's just, it's simple. It doesn't try to do too much. It's not flashy with all these colors, and it doesn't look like a computer on my wrist.
Right.
So I'm absolutely going to use these and, you know, see what I think. I'm curious if I go back to, you know, if I stick with the Pebble Steel, because I just like the way it looks. I like the way those steel links look.
Get a steel band for whichever watch you end up buying.
Yeah.
And then you'll be installing my little sad panda watch face.
By the way, you can order all these now on Google Play. Not Moto 360. It's here. We've seen it.
Yep. Looks good, guys.
They're sort of letting people try them a little bit, but God help you if you turn it over and look at the back. Like, I've had several people you know, say, yeah, they, you know, said, just, well, if you take it over, we are done.
Maybe they knew who I was because they wouldn't let me touch it.
Well, there you go.
They held it in front of me.
Right, exactly. So something's up, and I don't know what. I got to wonder if it's maybe that much more expensive than the first two. And maybe that's it? And they're just letting us get our feet wet with this? And I don't know.
I still... And they announced that the Moto 360 will have Qi charging. Qi charging. Whatever you want to call it. But still, Dennis Woodside said that there was a secret back there with the charging.
Mm-hmm.
That he didn't want to talk about. Now, today, they won't let anybody see the back of the watch. I'm not saying the two things have anything in common. But that's instantly where I thought, what secret is back there besides... you know, Qi charging that Woodside was talking about. Why won't you let me see it? Why are you tormenting me like this? Please stop. Let me see the watch. And it just didn't work.
So we'll see. I don't know.
Sometime this summer, right? Yeah. That's all that they've said.
Yeah.
This summer.
Anything else on the watches? I don't have a lot to say until we really use them.
Right. They look good. They the Samsung one, in any way, it felt good. Very solid. Right now, it does nothing.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing that's got me really excited. Android Auto. And I'm going to go play with this tomorrow.
Are you? Good.
Yeah,
good.
I'm going to sit down and actually spend some time with it. But what I saw in the keynote, I think, was pretty telling. So it's an Android experience in your car.
And best part of the keynote ever, wasn't it?
Yes.
You can't see me, but I'm bebopping my head around, pretending like I'm driving. That was amazing.
So they had this, you know, car demo in there, and it's think of like a 7-inch display built into your car. A lot of cars have that now, especially new cars, and it will connect to your phone and run this modified display of Android sitting there, touch friendly, but not necessarily touch only.
Right.
And, you know, they showed it running Google Maps, they showed you doing searches, they showed you calling people. Really, really good, important stuff. It shuts your phone off while you're... It doesn't shut your phone off, but it keeps you from using your phone while you're doing it. And I've been talking about this for a long time. And to me, that is one of the most important things we can do as... I'd like to think of us as an educational website a little bit. You know, as we help educate people and that the mobile industry in general can do. And they kind of started to last year and then... They made a big deal about it and then just stopped. But we've got to keep people from using their phones while they're in the car driving. Absolutely have to do it. If you're listening to this while you're driving, put your phone down. Just put it down. I can see you.
There's nothing you're doing that's important enough that you need to do it while you're driving on a phone.
But moreover, I mean, this is going to give you... It's going to give you the experience... That you kind of deserve for having, like, I've got all these toys. I can't use any of them in the car very well.
And they said the same experience. That's important.
Right.
The same as your watch, the same as your phone, the same as your tablet, the same as your TV is now in your car.
I mean, I can use a Bluetooth speakerphone, and I have. I've used a lot of them, and a lot of them work great. But it's not a good experience. You have to make sure they're charged, and you have to turn them on, and you have to make sure they're synced. And then you have to hope they work well. This is much more promising, and it integrates into the things that will already be built into the car.
Right.
You know, and if you have, you know, the buttons on your steering wheel, which are very important, if you already have microphones built in for calling people, I mean, this is super important. It's not just toys. When my wife was buying a new car a couple years ago, I made her get one that had Bluetooth built in.
Right.
I said, babe, it's a safety feature.
Right.
It's a safety feature.
It's a must-have. I didn't, and I kicked myself every time I turned the ignition key.
And it was, you know, it was an extra couple $1,000s, I think. At that point, you know, when you're spending that much money on a new car anyway, I said, just do it. It's a safety feature, so we're paying for it for, you know, an extra 6 months or whatever. You know, whatever.
So, now, this Android car stuff, maybe they'll clarify a little bit more tomorrow because they didn't say anything. Wouldn't it be great if there was some aftermarket stuff like, Jeep. I drive a Jeep. Jeep's a partner.
Right.
I would love Jeep to say, hey, Jerry, you can bring your Jeep in because you were too stupid to get the upgrade for in-dash navigation and sound and stuff, and we'll put an Android in it.
I would love some sort of either aftermarket or even if it's OEM, I mean, like you said, if I could go to Honda. I have an 05 Civic. with 49,000 miles on it. I don't drive very far very often. I'm going to have this car for a long time. Yep. I want to be able to use this stuff in it. How can I do that? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't want it to only come from Detroit or wherever.
Right.
I want it to actually be something I can buy and have them put in. And if so, Phil, can I expense an Android? We'll talk later.
We might have to. But yeah, you know, Google Play Maps, because obviously you need navigation. That's awesome. Music, because again, I have all this great music. I use Google Play Music.
And look at the new UI for music.
Yes.
Number one, you shouldn't be fiddling with your stereo while you're driving either. Well, let's go right there. That's dangerous, just to, you know, maybe not as much as texting somebody, but you shouldn't be distracting yourself. So they built what they called, you know, what word did they use? Less distractive?
Yeah, yeah.
They actually mentioned the word distraction, and it is. It's just, it's a seek bar with great big finger easy buttons.
Here are some of the apps that they already have ready. iHeartRadio, big cool. One. Joyride, that's not one I know. MLB.com, so you can listen to baseball and all that stuff. Pandora, Pocket Casts.
Yeah. Woo! You can listen to us while you tool down the highway.
That's right. Songza, Stitcher, which you can also use to listen to us. Spotify, TuneIn Radio, which you can also use to listen to us. And Umano, which is not another one I know. What is that? Let me look that up real quick.
Click that.
Oh, maybe. Listen to news articles. Cool.
See, so. And some of those apps aren't easy to code apps. You know, it's not like they said, well, make Flappy Birds so it can play in the car. There had to have been some time and thought into how that's going to work. So the hard, heavy lifting looks like it may have been done by the people that pioneered before you. So if you're a developer and you think so you make something that somebody may be interested to use in the car, and chances are we will, you know us.
We can go through the list of automakers who are on board here, but and it flat out says on the site, Android Auto is coming soon to new vehicles from the following automakers. New vehicles, again, is the key word. But, you know, Acura, Alfa Romeo, Audi, Bentley, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Fiat, Ford, Honda, Hyundai, Infiniti, Jeep, and, you know, I get that some of these are kind of doubled up when you start looking at it. You know who's missing there is Toyota. Interesting. Volvo, Volkswagen, Subaru, you know, Dodge Ram. Is Dodge on there? Yeah, they have Dodge. Right. Toyota. Ram is separate. Interesting. Mazda, Mitsubishi, Nissan.
Toyota, for the longest time, had what they called an iPod-compatible package. Yeah, maybe they're going with iOS in the car, which is fine. Don't let your smartphone operating system decide which car you're going to buy.
No, it absolutely should not. And a couple of these, and I forget which ones. I think it was Volvo and I forget the other one. At least two of them so far have come out and said they will do they will do CarPlay from iOS or Android Auto, and you can just switch. And that's super important. Yep. If you're out there and you're a car manufacturing CEO and you're listening to the Android Central podcast, like I know they all are,
of course,
please do this. That it's just the right thing to do.
Yep.
That will make people want to buy your cars. It's super important. I'm stoked about this. I just really hope there is some sort of aftermarket solution. Absolutely.
If not, can I expense a new Jeep?
Probably not a new Jeep, no. Oh,
man.
No. Can't do that.
A little Jeep.
Android Fit. We have new APIs for tying into all this health and fitness stuff. Part of me just thinks they're doing it because they're expected to.
Yeah, I mean, and we can blame or praise Samsung for all that. They did it.
And they did it pretty well.
And, yeah, they did it well. And they did it well enough that other people looked to it and tried to mimic it. And I'm sure Google's iteration is going to look very much like Samsung's too. When you do something good, there's not a lot of other ways to do it if you want it to remain good. And I'm not knocking it. I know a lot of our listeners and readers, they love it. They want to not look like Phil or Jerry. And good, you shouldn't. But I don't know. I'll have to see it. I can't say anything.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the Samsung Gear Live has the heart rate sensor.
Right, heart rate.
So, yeah, I mean, and we've talked a lot about this in the Mobile Fit stuff. I'm still less concerned about having devices that can track my crap. Not literally, or literally, depending on the device, I guess. But more about I mean, I just got to get myself out and do stuff. Yeah. I don't particularly care at this point. You know, my device is knowing exactly what I'm doing. Or I do have, I bought a withing scale to try. So it is, and I like that just because it keeps track of the stuff so I don't have to.
And that'll motivate you.
That's all I need. Maybe I can open the app and see where I'm at.
Yeah.
I don't so much care about steps. And by the way, did you see Pebble got some app that will track your steps now? But it has to be active in the foreground. So, like, I can't use my normal watch faces, which is kind of lame. Anyway, that has nothing to do
with it. Well, and that didn't, isn't Nike part of Android Fit?
Yep.
On board with, you know, some of the technology?
Yes.
I don't remember if it was on the hardware side or the software side, so I don't want to say.
Remember, no, Nike's getting out of the hardware business.
Oh, that's right. And they're going to focus on this kind of software.
Right.
There we go.
Again, the right thing to do, you know. Hardware's tough to make. Absolutely tough to make. All right, for as excited as I am about Android Auto, which kind of sounds like a funny name that I think about it. There's another one, actually a big one, maybe even bigger today. Android One.
Right.
This is all about bringing Android to the emerging markets, the developing markets. Let's just say it, poor countries.
Right.
Right. I mean, and it shouldn't even say, I hate saying that, but that's what it is. Let's not pussyfoot around it.
People that don't have $800 disposable income to buy a phone.
And those aren't poor countries. I should not describe it like that. It's just different economics.
Right.
How about that? Android One is basically low-cost devices under $100, right?
That's what they had said, yes. That's amazing.
With a stock Android experience and not one that's bad. So, I mean, almost look at this like Motorola has done here in the States with the Moto G and the Moto.
And I do believe they said they're, I don't know if they're actually speccing out the hardware, but they're working with manufacturers to make sure there is a set of components that can run Android very well at the right price point. And that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal, especially because we've talked for a couple of years now about the next billion or the next 2 billion or whatever the number was. And that's getting away from people like you and me and getting the people who don't currently own smartphones because they're just not affordable in those countries for whatever reason.
Right. And you know, this is probably the most important announcement of the entire show. You know, to Google, the most important, because this is where they're already releasing low-end phones. And a lot of low-end Android phones just have a bad rap and they deserve it. Let's be honest. A lot of companies, and I'm not going to name any names, release their bottom-end phones are really crummy. And this might help put a stop to that.
So they're calling these a set of reference platforms that they're coming out with, right? They're going to have auto installs from Google Play, automatic updates. So, I mean, you're just not going to have a choice, right? They're going to update. The one they showed off today was from Micromax, which is not an OEM I'm familiar with. I know, just not in the U.S. at all. This one's a dual SIM device, which is what, you know, outside the U.S., outside North America, really. Is where you see a lot of that. It has an SD card slot, 4.5-inch display, FM radio, which, again, is one of those things that you don't see in the U.S. as much as you used to. It says Android One on the back. That's kind of cool. Less than $100. It's going to start in India. So, again, I feel bad that I said poor countries. I really didn't mean that. It's just...
Well, I understand exactly what you meant. It's...
I don't mean that in a disparaging way at all. It's just different economics, different... Right.
And... Not everybody's going to go run out and buy a Note 3 because they want one. That's just how it is. Maybe they're the smart ones.
So they're starting with Micromax Carbon, which I tell you, I mean, we get emails every day like asking how to root devices.
Yep.
Carbon is the one that stands out to me. K-A-R-B-O-N-N. And again, not a company I know, but you know, it's one we hear about.
Yeah, it's huge in India. Well, you know, Micromax is too. They make a phone called the Canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Huge in India. So, makes sense where Google's starting. I'm glad to see it.
It's a big deal. Is this that Android Silver thing that leaked out?
It kind of lays in with what I had heard. Android Silver is really just a marketing term that we can use to sell other brands of phones. Is kind of what I had heard, but who knows? Maybe we have Android 1 now, and in December we have Android Silver. I'm not going to pretend to guess.
Okay, cool. What else? What was missing? A lot of interesting things missing today. By the way, we didn't talk about the protest during the keynote. How weird was that? It was kind of not a weird keynote. I mean, it was like, it was going a million miles an hour from the start. Yeah. And they're giving us all these awesome numbers that, you know, really good stuff and all these new Android features. And then all of a sudden we have somebody, the first one was a woman who was like waving a sign and yelling about the housing situation in San Francisco. And it's a big deal, and I don't mean to downplay that at all.
It started before the keynote.
Oh, yeah.
You were inside because the way things worked, I had to wait in line, and Phil didn't. I think Phil told them, I'm Phil Nickinson.
I told him I'm Jerry Hildenbrand.
Oh, well, whatever. But out in line at the parking garage across from the Moscone West, they put up banners.
Oh, did they?
You have Darth Vader's face, Google's evil, all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't take any pictures of it. Well, I took pictures of it. I didn't put them up anywhere for you guys because I don't want to draw attention to that.
Well, look, and I get it. There's a big bunch of nerds and there's a big backlash against the tech industry out here. I get that. I understand the complaints. You know, in Mobile World Congress every year in Barcelona, there are protests every year we're there. Because they know it's thousands, tens of thousands of people in town to spend money and stuff,
and they can
get attention.
I expect that from Europe.
Yeah, I was a little uncomfortable just because, I mean, normally this is, you think of it as a relatively safe environment, you know, at least me being a upper middle class white guy. I hope the women here feel safe. I'd like to say they are, but I don't know. I'm not a woman. I don't know what that's like. But to me, it's a safe environment, right? It's people here to learn and to teach and to advance all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, there's this...
Exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Because I felt it, too.
Like, and part of it's because I just finished reading that new Stephen King book, Mr. Mercedes, which is, you know, I thought it was a pretty good book. And I don't want to spoil it, but there's a pretty unhinged character who's intent on doing some bad things around a lot of people. And that's what I was thinking about. And it's like, you know, I don't mean to harp on it, but, you know, are we going to have metal detectors next year? Are they going to have to search bags?
Yeah, I didn't go that far. I didn't, maybe because I didn't just finish reading.
And this is my brain just going on.
But I did, I thought, as soon as it happened, I'm like, well, how did that get in here?
Yeah.
How?
And I was talking to some people. They're pretty sure they bought the $900 tickets.
Yeah.
And
I would imagine that's the only way it could have been.
Yeah.
They, you know, their group pulled as many people as they could to try to buy tickets, and then this went off.
And it's not one person. It was two. The second one was the dude who was yelling about Google making robots that kill people.
Yes, and that I hate to bring attention to it, but the best comeback ever.
Yeah.
This is the most friendly software I think I could ever buy.
The guy who was on stage, you know, giving the demo, he's like, this is a pretty friendly software. I hate to see that sort of thing. I thought everybody handled it pretty well.
You know, it's surprising that it hasn't happened before.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's because everything is reaching a boiling point here in San Francisco. And I don't live here. I'm not going to get in that. I would think that I can assume which side all of our listeners are going to be on, but you know what assume does. So
yes.
I'm not. I just, with it boiling to a head, I can see why it's happening. Google, if you want to hold your next event in D.C., there will be lots of army, but there won't be any protesters.
I love D.C.
We can promise it.
By the way, I think it was two women on stage today, which I would say is not enough.
To go back, it was two very qualified women who were very good at their job.
And
gave an excellent presentation, so good that you didn't realize, they've trotted out a woman, because that's not how it went.
I kind of got the... No, Ellie Powers was out there last year talking about Google Play and really interesting stuff. I kind of got the feeling they got rushed today, and we started late.
Yeah.
If that was part of it, if the protest threw everything off, I don't know. But I almost got the feeling that... And this brings us back to what was missing today. But there was absolutely... I heard zero about Google Glass. I don't even think the word Google Glass was used in the keynote.
And it's strange because on the first floor they have a big glass pavilion where you can try them on and buy them and learn everything you wanted to know. Something that they didn't do last year. but they didn't have anything to say. Maybe they were afraid because half the people in attendance probably had the old version and read that they're not going to get updated and they didn't want more protests.
Yep.
And that's just me being a clown.
They didn't say anything about the new Tango tablets and their weird 3D mapping.
And the only reason we expected them to is because a rumor got leaked that they were gonna.
Sure.
That's not something that... That would be a small demo area at Google I.O.
And there are some here.
Yeah.
That zombie gunship game that's, you know, using it to do cool stuff. So,
but, you know, you would expect to see that for a year or two before it makes it into the keynote.
There were just no, like, weird moonshot mentions. Everything today was very practical. Nothing on Google Voice and Hangouts integration.
Nope.
Which, I don't know. I mean, at least it's still working.
I know. It's dead. They're going to kill
it. Stop it.
They're going to kill it.
Stop it. And no sign of Larry and Sergey during the keynote.
Right.
Which was really interesting. I don't know if they're giving Sundar space and letting this be his show, and there's something to be said for that. If you haven't read it, by the way, there's a really good article in Business Week on Tuesday on Sundar. And what I really got out of it was kind of a sea change about transparency and all these divisions of Google working together now and not holding things so close to the vest.
Helps us.
Yeah.
So, I guess,
no Larry and no Sergey.
And
they've been around. I saw pictures of Sergey at a Google Glass event last night. But, yeah, just interesting.
You know what? I think that's a good thing. I think Sundar is... I'm not saying that Larry or Sergey are old. And I'm not saying that Sundar is not old. I don't know his age. He may well...
He's not young, yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's 20.
Young, fresh ideas, new. And that's what Google, especially on the Android side... And yes, they give away Android for free. But Android is Google's mobile platform. And Google is all about mobile. Just like every other company is all about mobile now. So Android is very important. And you've got this gentleman who is doing an excellent job. Look at what has come around since Sundar has taken over. And you know, a lot of that was probably in the works before he came on board. But he's doing a great job, so let him roll. I like to think they were sitting back, way in the back row, eating popcorn, just watching. Or maybe they hired somebody to protest. Let's see what he does.
I kind of feel like I want a second keynote tomorrow, just not one that's almost 3 hours long again.
No.
Something felt like it was missing, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
But we got so much. We don't need any more.
No, we did get a lot. We're going to have this developer preview. I'm curious to see how, if it can be a daily driver. And I know the iOS betas are very much like that in the beginning, too. Like, you can use them if you really want to. But, so are we going to get kids complaining that,
of course we are.
It's horrible? But
the developers, they don't care, Phil. The developers, I talked to a few of them. This is going to allow me to be ready. This is going to allow me to make sure my app works when your phone gets updated. Thank you, Google, so much.
Yeah, you know, quite a few who got up to speak at the Fireside Chat said exactly that.
So, and that's why Google did it. They didn't do it so Phil and Jerry and you that are listening to this who is not a developer can flash this and say, oh man, this is buggy as hell. That's not why it was done.
I'm trying to think back real quick. Permissions in L? Oh, localized app permissions. There's something new, right? Not quite. I'll dive into that.
Yes,
later.
There is some sort of data and privacy guard. They didn't really tell us what it was going to be. But there is some sort of permissions management setting where you can control what data comes in and out of your phone.
Right, so you're going to see it within the apps and not just this blanket declaration of permissions when you install.
And that goes against what Google has said for the past 4 years. And the developer side of me says, boo, boo. Now somebody may be able to break my app and give me a one-star review because they broke
it. But it's not going to because it's going to ask you right then. It's not just going to be this, you turn it off in the background and then the app has to deal with it. The app's dealing with it up front. I'm okay with that. I'm hoping it's not as annoying as, and I haven't used Windows Phone for any length in a while now, but it always killed me. Like anytime I would open the camera, this app can use the camera. Are you sure you want the camera app to use the camera? And I'm like, it's a damn camera app. Yes, use the camera. This map wants to know your location. Do you want the map? Yes, I want the map to know my location. I don't want to tell you every time. And I think it'll be smarter than that, I hope. But yeah, so that's cool.
It's not going to be as much as some people want, but it's a start.
Yes.
Google realizes that they're starting to get a little bit of backlash from privacy enthusiasts.
I got the feeling out of the fireside chat, and these are mostly framework people in there who are talking more at your level than mine, but I got the feeling just from listening to them that there's a lot that they want to do that they're now able to do that they weren't able to do before for whatever reason, whether it was Andy Rubin, whether it was something else, I don't know, doesn't matter. But they seem excited about the new design, about these new, you know, these new APIs and new frameworks. It was, how many new APIs were they saying? 5,000?
5,000.
Yeah. I mean, that's, everybody always does, and, you know, Apple does that too. We have X amount of new APIs.
I hope that means that 4,000 some odd were updated.
Right.
And not that we've said, hey, you know what?
Here, let's 5,000 just remake Android.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, so much new stuff. So, again, developer preview this week. Thursday, I assume earlier rather than later. You can order the Android Wear watches now. They ship in a couple weeks. I have a feeling they'll ship even before that.
Yep.
The date I was told was July 7th. The date when I ordered said July 8th, but I have a feeling they'll ship before that.
I was told the beginning of July. That could be the 7th. That could be.
Yeah, no, I was flat out told the 7th. Yeah. LG's watch is $229, Samsung's is $199. We don't know anything about Motorola other than we're waiting and it still looks really cool and everybody wants one. And but
you don't have to rush out and spend your money right now.
Yes.
Phil and I are going to have one.
We're going to do that for you.
Right.
And we're going to give some away, by the way. I know we are. Connectedly has a contest.
Yeah. So if you don't want to spend $200 on a watch, that you may not even want to wear a watch anymore. Wait and see what Phil and I think about it.
I saw some headline today that said something like, no Nexus 8, but it's still coming. We weren't going to get a Nexus 8 today, guys.
No.
I mean, today is not about new hardware. Nope. It's really not.
Nope.
I mean, the only new hardware we got today was really the Samsung watch.
Yep.
And I wouldn't even say it's new hardware. I'd say it's revamped hardware that's already out there with a different OS.
Right. If you've seen a Gear 2, really, it's just you take the camera and the button off of Gear 2 and change the operating system. The rest is identical.
Yeah. I gotta quit saying or people are gonna yell at me again.
I'm gonna start.
I don't care. I'm excited. That was a lot of good stuff. I'm gonna kick back tomorrow, go to some sessions, go meet some people, see some stuff. I want to go play with the auto stuff because I haven't actually seen that yet. And again, it's early for all that.
Yep.
I want one in my car. I want it now. And then I'm going to go home Thursday night. Because IO will be over. I don't think we're going to do a podcast on Friday this week. Probably not. Unless I really get inspired. But I think you and I will need the rest of the day to recover.
If you get inspired, just let me know.
To everybody out there who listens to the show and is here at Google IO and has said hi to myself or Jerry, hi back to you. Back at you.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Isn't that the best part of coming here? It really is.
Everybody here is so friendly, and everybody is so happy to see each other, and it's really cool when somebody stops by to say hi. Then you spend a few minutes, and you talk to them and find out, you know, what they do with their time.
Yeah.
It's just great.
It's awesome. It really makes coming out here for, you know, 2.5 days and then going home overnight worth it. Absolutely. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for putting up with me going, I'm not going to apologize for it.
No, you better not.
This ain't easy. And that's it, I think. So, that's not... I mean, Google I.O. is not over. We got more coming on Thursday. But...
You never know.
Especially once, you know, we've got this L developer preview in our hands. It's a big, big deal. And no NDAs on it. As far as we know. I don't imagine there are going
to
be.
If they're putting a factory image up for people to install, I don't see how they could even possibly think anybody would honor an NDA.
Yeah. So that's it. We're done from here in San Francisco. Next time you hear from us, we will most likely not be in San Francisco. And that's okay, too. So, Jerry, thank you.
Phil, thank you.
Everybody else out there, thank you. We will see you next time.
Toodles.
This episode of the Android Central Podcast was brought to you by lynda.com. That's L-Y-N-D-A. Your home for more than 25 courses from professionals who know what they're doing to teach you all the things. For a special offer and try Lynda free for 7 days, go to lynda.com/androidcentral.